Amen. Why don't you have a seat? And again, every giant will fall because Christ has shared with us the victory. And you know, that was such a beautiful and glorious day. Well, we want you to know that every day should be a glorious day for the believer, because every day we can live in victory. So let's sing this out and make the gates of hell quake.
Till I met you.
Well, this next song, again, just talks about the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ in this reality that God comes to our rescue. You know, there's times early on with my walk with the Lord that I was surprised when God came through. I don't know if you remember those days, or maybe you're living those days, where you have these mountains that have to move and you don't see a solution no matter how hard you've racked your brain. And then all of a sudden, God moves the mountain. And I used to be surprised at those days, but I'm not surprised at those days anymore. I think I'm always in awe when God comes through, but his promise is that he will come through. And so this is called Rescue. Again, you guys have been blessed by Lauren Diegel, and I love it when Allison sings one of her songs, and so let's sing Rescue together.
There's never been a moment.
Anyway, again, if you are listening online, we're so glad that you could join us today. If you are listening online, it could be because you didn't get a seat. So again, I wanted to remind all those who are booking seats for the 9 and the 11 o'clock service, if you know your plans have changed, please don't let us know Sunday morning, 1:45 service. That will never work. We do want to say we've turned many away this week to try to keep in protocol for COVID. And so make sure if you are booking a seat that you have made it a priority and you get here. If you don't, you need to know that there are those who are turned away today. So if you slept in, shame, shame, feel guilt, go to the penalty box, spend 2 minutes. All right? And if you say, I didn't get in, of course, we want you to be able to join in the podcast. But we also want you to know that you could come to Deep Brook on Tuesday to the Lions Hall. It's a big enough building that we are not booking yet. You do come in the back or the side, depending upon how you look at the building. Where the parking is, you come in on that side. You sign in with your mask. You find a seat after you have your coffee, and you take off your mask, and you can join in the service. Then we leave through the front door. So you can always come to Tuesday night if you happen to not get here. And you do like the live services. So we've been working through Romans. How many people have been challenged? Anybody? I hope that you found it a challenge. I hope that you found it interesting. Of course, Tracy did Romans 12, and there was a transition last week. The first 11 chapters of Romans really deal with doctrinal issues, right? This is what you should believe, and this is why. And for those of you who've known me for any length of time, you know that that's a little personal pet peeve. I believe Christians should not be lazy. Amen? Now, that's in life in general, but especially when it comes to theology. We should know what doctrine we believe in and why we believe the things that we believe. And so that's what Paul was addressing the first 11 chapters. And then Tracy opened a new door to us, right? Where all of these teachings of this new thing called grace that Paul had described, Tracy opened it up in 12, because chapters 12 to 16 instruct us how that doctrine should affect our living. Again, how many understand that as a believer, your life should be different than the world? It really should. And again, we should be shining in the darkness. And so in chapter 12, there was this transition, and Tracy talked about how we need to be living sacrifices. Huge, big concept. How we need to be set aside to be holy for God. Huge, huge concept. It talked about how we need to be humble and how our love must be sincere. All of this doctrine should translate into what? It should translate into love. And she even talked about love even when it involves a chocolate bar. Remember that from last week? She talked about the ABCs. And because of the ABCs, because we can believe in Jesus Christ, it should change everything. And we should be captivated and driven by love. Well, this week we want to jump into chapter 13. And what does this chapter talk about? It talks about obeying the laws of the land. How ironic is that? There's no question for me, there's been confirmed time and time again that we were supposed to be going through the book of Romans. And it's amazing that it lands on this week where just last week we witnessed what happened in Washington. People were storming the Capitol building. There was 4 that ended up dead. There was hundreds that were arrested and still many that were wanted by the FBI. It's not by chance that we're talking about law and order today. And before we get into Paul's teaching here, I want again, once again, remind us of how it is in context. What was the government in his time? In his time, he was under the Roman rule. Now, think about this. The estimate is that the early church saw 6 million Christians killed and slaughtered for their faith. Think of that number for a minute. And here is Paul in the early church. Here is Paul's time, and he is facing great persecution. And yet, as you read his writing, you would not sense that, would you? You sense a calm. You sense a thought process. You sense his love for the lost. You see his focus. But don't forget, he was going through great persecution. And what amazes me in North America is sometimes we think that, when persecution comes, we think all of a sudden God has fallen asleep. When persecution comes our way, we think that we need to awaken God, right? But I want to remind you that even in persecution, God is always in control, and that is true even in the man-made governments. Tracy again reminded us last week that, you know what? As believers, you should know it's going to get worse. And we're not to panic. We know that. In fact, we should be the voice of calm. We should be the voice of reason. We know that it has to come. And there's going to be some things that we don't like of government, but guess what? Those governments have to be elected so that the way can be paved for the Antichrist to come. What happens when you delay that? When you stand in the way of that? When you stand in defiance of that? You're saying that you don't want Jesus to return. Well, I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to delay the return of the Lord. If anything, I want to speed it up. But we are called to relax, understanding the truth that God is always in control. Some of the things that we don't like have to happen for God to move. It doesn't mean you have to like it. In Romans 13, Paul gives this heavy responsibility in regards to the government. And again, there's a lot of people who are listening this morning online or who are here. You may not like this message, but we need to understand that there are institutions that God has put in place. The three primary ones, again, if you study the Word of God at all, you'll know that, one of those institutions is the church. That's why we meet weekly while we're allowed. That's why we send it out on air on the podcast while we're allowed, because God has instituted the church. Acts 2, go over it. You'll see how he set it up, and you'll see his dream for the church. The second institution would be the family. It's instituted of God. It's God ordained. It's God blessed. Go back to Genesis 2. Read it and understand it a little more and be thankful for it every day. But the third institution that God has brought to be is the government. You want to see its outline, go to Genesis 9 and read up on it. And what's fascinating it is you know what? God's idea of a government is to keep rule over the people and to keep order. And some of his thoughts may not even be your thoughts when I see how the world has influenced the church and not the other way around. If I was to say this morning, let's drop a bomb, where do you stand on capital punishment? I would love to hear what some of you would say and why. And then I would love us to go back and read Genesis 9 and see how it might change or challenge you at least. So fascinating things. But here in Romans 13, we come to this place where Paul is addressing the governing authorities. And he holds nothing back. And this morning, the world, certainly Digby, but the world needs to hear this message. Starting to read at verse 1. It says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. Now again, think of Paul's time. And all of a sudden, Paul is proclaiming, you know what? The governing authorities are there for a reason and we should live at peace. Why? Because God has established them. Right? No government will arise unless it has been allowed by God. And we go, wow, surely he cannot be talking about Justin Trudeau. Yes, he is talking about Justin Trudeau. He is talking about the Liberal Party. And everybody who's here listening online knows that I'm not a fan of the Liberal Party. And that's because, again, when I come down to my morals, they check off more offensive boxes to me than not. Is there a party out there that makes me feel comfortable? Not at all. None of their platforms are following the Word of God. That being said, I'm not a fan of Trudeau, and you may know that because I speak my voice and I vote. However, I am called and you are called to pray for them. To pray for Justin. To pray for the Liberals. And there's times when you go, how in the world could God allow this to be happening? You need to understand that God knows what is happening. Paul wrote this. Think about his leader of his day. It was Caesar Nero. Who was Caesar Nero? Nero was this guy who the great gardens that you read about in Rome, he would light them at night by burning Christians. That's how he would light the gardens at night. He was the guy who helped bring the Colosseums together so that Christians would be fed to the lions. He was a bad guy, and everything Paul did was offensive to Caesar Nero. And yet here was Paul saying, if you rebel against the government, then you are rebelling against God. We need to live at peace when we can. Now, again, I've had this conversation with people 1,000 times because everybody knows, you know what, Andrew, you're pretty vocal. Why don't you get into politics? Please love me more than that. Andrew, you speak well. Why don't we lead a rebellion? No, because I know the word of God. Governments are established by God. And you'd say, okay, well, even the most corrupt ones? Yes. And I've had people say, how about Hitler? And I go, yes. Without missing a beat, that Hitler had his place in history, and people are astounded by that answer. But look at how unbelievable the history unfolded in that time, right? World War II, and everybody is falling apart, and the countries are falling apart, and then all of a sudden, the end of World War II comes, and everybody sighs this breath of, oh, right? What happened in that moment? Well, all of a sudden, the world saw what Hitler was doing. They saw this video and these pictures of these incredible camps. They saw the horrifying chambers that were there, the gas chambers. They saw the furnaces that were still smoking and hot. They were horrified by the camps in which people were nothing more than animals. And the world thought it so appalling that Israel, it was in the world's eye view, and the world's heart was broken for Israel. And in 1947, the UN General Assembly, with hearts broken for Israel and what they had been through, what did they do? They established them as a nation. Incredible in hindsight. That again, what Hitler caused, God used, and out of the vilest events the world has ever known, there came a homeland for God's chosen. So again, we need to understand that some of those authorities that we may question, they are allowed to rule. And God is still in control. And when we storm capitals like we saw in Washington, you need to know that that's making it worse. That's not making it better. Paul goes on in verse 4. He says, "For the one in authority is God's servant for your good." Think about who he's writing about. The one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. The rulers do not bear a sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Paul is saying here, what is he saying? He's saying, he's echoing Jesus' words. You want to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. When the parliament buildings or the Capitol Hill is stormed by rioters and rioters die, guess what? Nobody should be surprised. While it's very, very sad, Paul is saying that we should be living at peace. That those who are in charge are supposed to keep us in line. That we are to be an example. That integrity is still what the world needs to see. I was thinking about this. How many times have you ever been stopped by a cop? Right? And you know why he's stopping you, right? Say you're speeding, okay? Not that I have any experience in this at all. Right? All of a sudden, you see those lights and you hear that siren. If you don't see the lights right away, they do put on the siren just in case you didn't know that. And then you look up and you go, oh, man! And you pull off to the side of the road. And all of a sudden, the officer will come over to your car and roll down the window, and you'll roll down the window. And what do? Hello, sir. Do you know why I stopped you today? License and registration, please. Thank you, sir. Just a minute. Then he comes back to the car. Here's your ticket, sir. Have a nice day. Rolled up the window. You see how the complaining stopped? I am always amazed when I hear of believers or see believers, and I sure don't want to be that believer, when an officer is simply doing their duty, that I am giving them a hard time. They didn't stop me because I was right. They stopped me because I was wrong. And in that moment, I have a chance to either let my light shine or to spit on the example that I should be setting for the world to see. And yet so often, I don't see Christians being an example. I've had people argue, oh, taxes this, taxes that, Andrew, we shouldn't have to pay taxes. And I'm thinking in my head, you don't even pay a tithe to the Lord. What in the world are you worried about taxes for? But I smile and I nod and I go, let's have a conversation about that. And on I could go. Paul is saying that, you know what, there are times, always, when we should be an example. Verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And you know what? Even in his day, with the terrible things that were happening to the Christian community, that was not up for debate. And yet, how many have read Paul's letter that says it's not fair? There is no letter where Paul is complaining that it's not fair. He knows that it's not fair, but it's not about being fair. It's about trust in the Lord God alone. So think about this. Paul, who spent so much of his adult life imprisoned underneath the city, and a Roman citizen at that, right? Being held arguably in the word of the law, possibly being held against the law, under the city, and he still had favor. How do I know that? Because he wrote to us most of the New Testament. They didn't give him a secretary in prison. In fact, getting pens and paper probably was not something that they did for every prisoner. But Paul loved in such a way, even though he was being wronged and it wasn't fair, he let his light shine, and out of even the wrong, God brought so much right for you and I. Did he like it? It didn't matter. He didn't have to like it. He was only concerned in what those who looked at him saw, and he wanted them to see the love of God in his life. You say, Andrew, well, man, how can we sit back and do nothing? You sit back and you wait, and what do? You adjust when things don't go your way. That's what you do. You know, I was saying, for me, I've been throwing around the ball of the end times for a long time, for the past 10 years now, with different people that I love and I trust. And I have all those conversations now. In my opinion, and I may not be right, I kind of feel like the tribulation, most of us Gentiles won't go through the tribulation. God's not trying to snatch away your salvation, right? I'm not saying he won't test you. That's the way I feel about it. And the reason why is because I keep coming back to Jesus' explanation when he's talking about the end times and he uses Noah's Ark, how it rose above. Right? And so I kind of feel like there we are. And people will say to me, but Andrew, what if we have to go through some of the tribulation? I'm saying, well, then we'll adjust. What do you mean we'll adjust? What if we can't trade? Well, then we'll farm. What if we can't go to the grocery store? Well, you know what? That's why I go deer hunting and I go to the range all the time. I don't plan on missing a deer, whether it's in tribulation or out of tribulation. You know, the only thing you can't do is you can't bring Rob Burns with you into the bush because he talks so much, you'll never get nothing. I told Rob that first service. I said, Rob, if we ever come to the end times and we're tested a little bit, you're going to learn how to farm because I don't want you with me in the bush. And that's what it comes down to. And you'd say, well, how in the world are we going to do that? We are going to adjust, but make no mistake, we are going to live at peace and let our light so shine before men that they can't help but acknowledge our Father in heaven. You know, there's this verse, too, that people bring to me all the time when we talk about end times. And they say, well, you know, Andrew, we need to revolt. We need to stand up. We need to let our voices be heard. I agree with some of that. We need to let our voices be heard, and you should always vote. But when it comes to this idea of rebellion and rioting, you know what? My heart was broken when I saw what was happening in Washington. And people would say, well, you know what? Peter says we should obey the laws of God over the laws of man. Yes, he did. He said it in Acts. And how did he say it? He said it in context of church leadership. But make no mistake, Paul leaves us no question that we are to obey the authorities that have been placed by God over us. Now, is there exception to that rule? Sure, I'll give you the biggest one, the mark of the beast. As a Christian, you are not to take the mark of the beast or you'll be damned. And you'd say, what if they trick me? You already know it. You shouldn't fear that. It's very, very clear that the mark of the beast will be put on your head or it'll be put in your right hand. And if you're savvy like me and we would ever go through it, I'd be saying, I can't put it in my right hand. It's a little weak. Maybe we could put it in the left because I could be a secret agent doing trade on your behalf. I don't know. But the reality is it's not going in my right hand and it's not going on my head. And I don't care if it's a tattoo and I don't care if it's a chip because they're going to say to you, it's for the betterment of the world. Not taking it. Why? Because I already know. God was very clear. God is not into tricking me. God is not into stealing away my salvation. And the mark of the beast is very, very clear. You know that they have to get rid of money. Why? Because we need one world economy. In fact, the governments have to come together. And you know what? If you told me this 2 years ago, I would have said, I can see the beginning of birth pains, but this is going to be a long labor. I disagree with that now. I think that labor is coming fast. Why? Because we saw the world shut down and start to work together. What was the purpose of vaccine? Right? Now, again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. However, I am pro-immunity. I'm not worried about standing in line for a vaccine right now. If they make me take a vaccine, that'll be between me and God. It'll certainly be the Pfizer one because that's the one that Israel used, in case you were wondering. Do the research. Right? But I'm not worried about a vaccine. It's partially because I'm not even worried about death. And they'll say, well, Andrew, you need to get a vaccine because you need to worry about your grandmother. No, I don't. My grandmother's dead. Well, you need to worry about my grandmother. I don't like her either. Right? But if I have to get a vaccine, don't worry, I'll cross that bridge with me and the Lord. But I certainly am not getting a mark. Well, Andrew, you need it to do trade. Well, why? Because we can't pass bills. Why? Because the virus is passed upon bills. Well, you know what? We need to buy vaccines for parts of the country and the world that can't afford vaccines. So now we're all bankrupt. Well, surprise, we already are bankrupt. Oh, well, then let's have a reset. How many of you heard those words? They're talking about reset. In the last month, you've heard about bitcoins. Why? Because they want to go to a cryptocurrency. Why? So that the world can share a currency, and they'll say it's for your good because then people can't avoid taxes. The rich will pay their fair share. It's going to be perfect. Oh, by the way, the GPS chip we're putting in you is for pandemics so that when we lock you down, it's for everybody's safety. Just take it. Just in the right hand. No. I know that it's coming, and God is not trying to trick me, and I can respectfully decline. And what does it mean? It means that I will adjust. It means that I'll be farming and hunting. It means that it will be hard, but it'll be okay. Why? Because God is still in control, always has been, always will be. And so what do I do in the meantime? I do let my voice be heard. I certainly do let my vote be cast, but do I turn to violence? No. My gun is for hunting. And everyone who stormed the Capitol Hill this past week, it made me sad because some of them did it in the name of Jesus. Jesus had nothing to do with that. Stop avoiding Biden's inauguration. Biden has to come in so that America can fall, so that the end can come. And you ain't going to stop it. It's okay. God's in control. And what is my example of that? Not only did Paul willingly receive death, wrongful, but willingly receive death on behalf of the government, but Jesus is the greatest example of that ever. That Jesus loved even when the government had wronged him. Jesus loved even when the government falsely accused him. Jesus loved even when the government would kill him. And again, think about this. He could have called down the hosts of heaven to crush Rome. What was Rome fearful of? They were fearful of this prophet who could raise the dead. How do you stop an army when the leader prays over them and they come back to life and start fighting? Rome was fearful. Jesus could have won a physical war. Instead, he served us unto death because that was the plan. And that's how he won. You see, he fought the right fight. My hope is that we would always do that too. Verse 8 and following, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love to one another. For whoever loves offers has fulfilled the law. I'm waiting for Kirtland to laugh. I don't know why I couldn't read this morning. Like, I was stumbling over words, and I don't like to read publicly anyway. You guys know the whole story. Let me start that again because I can crop it out. Paul goes on in verse 8 and following to say, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there is are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul is saying we're to be a witness. Christ already won the war. We're to live at peace. We're not to storm the Capitol building. We're to show a better way. Why? Because we're to be leading by example. So if you got bills, pay the bills. You owe taxes, pay the taxes. I had a friend one time. This was amazing to me. It was when we were first married. And I'm not sure if we had kids yet at the time. I remember the night more than I remember the whole circumstance, but we were two couples, friends, Allison's friend, my friend. We both got married, and of course, they might have had a kid at that time, and we got together to say, let's have a movie night. And so outside of St. John, we got together, and we said, okay, let's go get a movie. So the fella and I jump in the car. We're going to rent a movie, leave the ladies there. We drive past the first gas station. I didn't say anything. Maybe they didn't have movies. It wasn't my town. Right? Drove past the second movie rental place. Said, oh, that's kind of weird. Maybe you just missed it because we're talking. Drove past the third gas station where it said movies for rent. I said, wait a minute. You just drove past three places for movies. He said, oh, yeah, I got to go all the way into St. John. I said, why do you got to go to St. John? He says, late fees. I went, late fees? What do you mean? Well, I owe them so much money, I can't ever show my face in there again. I went, and so your solution is to drive all the way to St. John every time you want to rent a movie? He said, yep. I said, wouldn't it be more Christ-like just to pay your bill? He goes, I don't want to talk about it. We never did get to the movie by the time we got to the movie store. We had wasted so much time getting there, we were going to make so much time coming back that I said, we don't even need a movie. But I thought in my head, where in the world is this witness? Like, if you can't trust the Christian guy or girl, how much hope is there for this world? And yet, you know what? Oftentimes I hear that you can't trust the Christian guy or girl. Makes me sad. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to ask it anyway. Whose image are you made in? Yeah. We're made in the very image of God, aren't we? Do you look like him? You ought to. Well, I don't like the government. I don't care. You should still look like Jesus. I don't like their policies. Doesn't matter. You had a vote. Now live with the consequences. You're to look like Jesus. Well, I don't like what they're doing. Doesn't matter. You should be loving them and praying for them. Why? Because time is running out, folks. Verse 11 and following, listen to this warning. And do this. Understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I'm going to keep reading that, but I want to stop. Remember Tracy was talking last week and she said it was the beginning of birth pains. I know a lot of people have a long labor, but you know what? There's many, many, many births that happen in the cab or the truck on the way to the hospital. I really felt that about 5 years ago, all the prophecies that needed to happen to make way for the Lord's return had been fulfilled. That's my personal study of the Word of God and the prophets. I said, you know what? God could return at any time. And I smiled. I was excited. This was great for me. Okay? But I said, even if it begins, man, there's so much that has to happen. Maybe I won't see it in my lifetime. Let me tell you, last March changed everything when I saw the globe shut down in 2 days. I saw travel banned. I saw governments working together. I saw our freedoms taken from us all in the beautiful package of worry about someone else. And I watched the whole world buy it. Governments buy it. Vaccines being rushed to be. And I said, wow, let me tell you, the birthing pains have begun, and I think the labor's going to be quick. Read it again, starting at verse 11. And do this, understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. What is he talking about? It says when Jesus returns, it'll be like a thief in the night. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul is telling us that time is short and we're not to be sleeping. Now is the time of action. And what is the action? He tells us we need to clothe ourselves in the person of Christ. Whose image are you made in? There shouldn't be a question. They should already know. Now is the time of prayer. Now more than ever is the time of knowing the Word, although I can't fathom an existence without knowing the Word of God. Christians should not be lazy. You should know the Holy Scriptures. I see Bibles all the time that look pristine. Let me tell you, they're not used. Even my pristine Bibles look terrible. And I say Bibles. I have a Bible everywhere. You know what? They're useless unless I get in it. And while we may not know the exact time or hour, we should know the voice of the shepherd. And so, you know what? You don't fear the end times. We should applaud them. We shouldn't be scared or nervous. We should be excited and exhilarated. If you find it hard to sleep, it shouldn't be because you're reloading ammo. It should be because you're praising your God, who is always in control, regardless of what the government is doing or not doing. You see, here's the difference. I don't care if it's fair. When I became a child of the King, my citizenship stopped being Canadian and it started being eternal. That's the reality that we should be living with, the confidence that we should have. That is where a believer should be, watching, ready, and always, 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 always an example to let our light shine. You say, Andrew, you're selling out wearing a mask. If a mask makes somebody feel comfortable, who gives a rip about a mask? My government tells me to wear it. I don't like him. He already knows it. I'm probably on a list somewhere. But I still pray for the man every day. I'm not excited about a vaccine. I'll cross that bridge when it comes, if it comes. They say they won't make me. Their terminology keeps changing. Again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm a pro-immunity person. I am. What if they trick you? The vaccine is not the mark of the beast. But they're not putting it in my right arm. And they're sure not sticking it in my forehead. But when the time comes when they want me to do some of those things too, I'll adjust. I hope that your light would shine so bright that there would be no question whose image you've been made in. And so here's the deal. Here's the deal. You want the tester? Whew. Does your family trust you? They should. You should be a person of integrity. Does your neighbor trust you? They should. You should be a person of integrity. Do business partners, do other businesses trust you? They should. You should be a person of integrity. Does your enemy trust you? They may hate you. They should trust you because you're supposed to be a person of integrity. Let your light so shine. Be watching. Be ready. And be the example. Everybody stand. Whew. I said at first service, any hate mail can be sent to, I think it's KirtlandJPeck@hotmail.com. I don't know what his personal email address is. I just punch in his name and it comes up. Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is what it comes down to. I'm ready to debate any of those things that I said this morning. I stand beside it because I prayed over it, right? And that's okay. You know what? I've been known to change my mind, but I certainly will never change Scripture. You'll be hard-pressed to change my mind on some of the things that we said about today. I know that it's not popular sometimes. I know that it splits people in half. There are those who are ready to storm Parliament. There are those who want to ignore Parliament. I think both those reasons are wrong. I think we need to find a place in the middle, following the example of Christ and the wisdom of Paul. We need to make a difference in the day in which we can. And when it gets hard, you should adjust and always let your light shine. Bow your heads. Whew. Lord, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for the book of Romans. Again, just one of those books that is always challenged, always sharpened, always helped mold me. Lord, I love Paul. I'm so glad that he didn't give up. I'm so glad that he didn't waste his time, even though his time was so limited. I'm so glad that when persecution came, he was still an example. And Father God, I pray that we, the church, would be found there always, always, always. That we would be students of the Word. That we would be hearers of your voice. And that we would love, love, love. To love the Lord your God with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is how the law is summed up, and I pray that we would be the summation of the law. That we would know whose image we've been made in, and that we would look like it. There would be no question who we are, because they would know whose we are. Ah, that's a beautiful thing. And Lord, I've been praying for it for the past 15 years, but return, Lord Jesus, return. I believe it's soon, and that excites me. It doesn't scare me. Woo! I get crazy. I do lose sleep over that. I get excited about the wonders of heaven that I can't fathom, the Bible tells me. I get excited about the reunion. I get excited about seeing you face to face, Lord Jesus. So come, Lord Jesus, come soon. In Jesus' name, amen.